I'm Yossi Selig, and I'm the host of Bandsplain, a show where we explain cult bands and iconic artists by going deep into their histories and discographies. We're back with a brand new season at our brand new home, the Ringer Podcast Network, tackling a whole new batch of artists, from grunge gods to power pop pioneers to new metal legends and many, many more. Listen to new episodes every Thursday, only on Spotify.
I have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh, can I use it where my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness from my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Welcome back to What About Your Friends, a podcast dedicated to the many lives of friendship and how it's portrayed in pop culture. I'm your host, Erica Ramirez. With me on this special episode of What About Your Friends is Sean Fennessy, head of content at The Ringer and host of The Big Picture, and my former Vibe editor circa 2007 or 2008.
How dare you age me on your podcast? Jesus.
What an introduction.
E. Ramirez, we were office homies literally more than 15 years ago, which is just painful to think about. But it's so good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you. So in advance of the premiere of season 4 of Succession this Sunday, today we're talking about one of the most, in my opinion, messed up friendships I've ever seen, which is Tom and Greg from Succession. When I say the words Tom and Greg, how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel simultaneously terrified and romantic.
Because romantic?
I want to suggest to you, like, are we even sure that this is a friendship or is it something deeper and bigger and... I don't know. The word bromance, I think, was thrown around a little bit about these two guys. There's obviously also a mentor and mentee quality to their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm rewatching the series as so many people are to prepare for the new season. And there's the great sort of monologue metaphor about Nero and Sporus in season 3 when Tom is feeling incredibly stressed about his impending doom jail sentence. And Greg is feeling stuck between Waystar Royko and his loyalty to Kendall and his friendship with Tom. And so, you know, Tom tells this whole story about a famous historical figure who divorces his wife, kills his wife, and then castrates his ward and then marries him and dresses him up. And, you know, in that moment, Tom is elevating this friendship to something much deeper. And so, I don't know, there are not a lot of examples of this kind of friendship. Forget about the fact that it's two men. Forget about the fact that it's an office friendship. There's a kind of non-sexual romantic intensity between these two guys that is so rare and so fascinating, but also, you know, pretty discomforting. It's pretty strange what goes on between them. I don't know. How do you think about the two of them?
I mean, no, I think that now that you describe it that way, definitely see it. I mean, when I think of their dynamic, right, Tom needs this emotional support from Greg, especially because Shiv is nowhere to be found for it, even when she is present. And the other siblings just shit on him constantly. They do not take him seriously. And Greg to him is like part mentee, part whipping boy, part confidant. And Greg needs a mentor and considers him, quote unquote, best friend after all of this. I don't know if it's like Stockholm syndrome, maybe. I think you mentioned that episode with that scene, and it feels like every time that Tom gets insecure of his vulnerability that he's expressing to Greg, he then gets aggressive, like abusive, and then apologizes. It's like a toxic relationship that they are in.
It really is.
But they're both participating in this friendship/maybe relationship.
Well, it's an interesting question then about Greg's agency in the friendship.
Mm, mm-hmm.
Because I wonder what you think about this. I mean, is Greg really an equal participant, or does he feel that he needs to be coordinated with Tom to create a modicum of success for himself? Because Tom doesn't need Greg professionally. You know, he might need an assistant or a number two, a lieutenant, you know, as he rises through the ranks of the company, eventually, you know, taking on the cable news channel and so many other things. But Greg, you could say, needs a non-relative who can guide him through this massive corporation and bring him along from project to project, so he's not just, you know, an amusement park employee as he is when the series begins. Like, what is it that Greg is getting out of this emotionally? We know what he's getting professionally, but emotionally, how does he even really understand how broken Tom is?
I think he does know how broken he is, but I think that this friendship is definitely transactional from both ends.
Okay.
And like, I think that Greg, I guess more on a professional level, we've seen Tom bring him with him wherever, right, tier he is every single time. Especially at, you know, season 3 finale, you see Tom being like, you're coming with me, a part of this. So I think that he is getting something from it. I mean, he was about to buy himself his own watch if he was going to go with Kendall. Like, and then he realizes, like, what am I even doing? Meanwhile, Tom wants to show him how to be rich. So it's like, I think he, if anything, is getting more of that mentor, like, you know, like visibility from him. But I don't know about... like, can they do without each other, do you think?
Wow, it's such an interesting question. I mean, office friendships are so complicated. Here at The Ringer, I'm very close with some of my colleagues, some people that I've known for many, many years. Obviously, you and I have known each other for many years. And I work well with my friends, and I like to work with my friends. But there is invariably a challenging set of issues that you always confront when you're really close to the people that you work with. And the Roy family is really no exception. I mean, they really just, they are constantly backbiting and undermining and, you know, shanking each other in order to climb and to succeed. And Tom and Greg, even when they're separated, there's this like invisible bond between them, this link that exists. You said it, like deeper than Shiv and Tom, you know, deeper than Kendall and Roman, deeper than Logan and Connor, deeper than all of these, you know, blood bonds.
Blood, exactly. I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah. And does it really boil down to something as simple as they like each other? They just like each other. And is that really the secret to friendship? Is it really as
so you don't have to love each other as long as you like each other?
I think so. I mean, you express love, right? You love your friends. You love your co-host. You want to show people that they're appreciated. But I think you have to want to be around someone. You want to just have that natural like. I'll give you an example. I'm old now and I'm a dad. And when I have free time, I golf, right? Because I'm a huge fucking cliche. But I was with my friends golfing on Friday afternoon. And I this is a weird thing to say, but I was just watching them, you know, hit their second shots on the sixth hole. And I just looked at these two guys and I was like, I really like those guys. I just like being around them. I like spending my free time with them. It's something you don't really think about when you're in your 20s or your 30s, because you're like, of course I'm surrounded by my friends. But when you're not constantly surrounded by your friends, as you get older and your life becomes more about your family and your career and a variety of other things, it's easier to have some appreciation for them. And I feel like Tom, who is childless, who's in this complicated marriage that he's not always happy in, just needs to be with someone that he likes. And for him, it's easiest to be around Greg because he maintains power, but also can be open. And I don't know, there's something sweet and toxic at the same time about what's between them from my perspective.
Those words, sweet and toxic. Well, I think the first thing that I thought of when you were saying this, especially your golf friends, is that you guys have fun.
Like,
so Greg and Tom have fun together, whether they're by themselves in a VIP second level at a club, right? Just themselves and no one else around, or they're at this strange, right? Like for his, what was it? Like engagement party or bachelor party, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're still doing some wild stuff, but they're together. They always kind of come back to each other. I mean, there's water bottles sometimes being thrown in chairs and like Greg has to duck, but they're still, weirdly enough, through the abuse, they're having fun together.
Do you have volatile friendships?
Not like this. I just want to put that out there right now. I think the thing that makes it really hard to dissect with this friendship is the actual abuse that is happening and Greg kind of like having to work around it. You know, for example, seeing Nate and Shiv together when they were there, I guess that was their engagement party, and getting the nerve to tell Tom this, and Tom just kind of like shuts him up and then wrestles him to the ground and then, you know, leaves. And it's almost just like the minute again that I think Tom projects a lot of what his anger that he has with Shiv onto Greg, because Greg is always around. Like, yeah, Greg is there for him.
Yeah, he's the pincushion, right? For all the needles that need to get stabbed whenever he's feeling frustrated. But like that Nero and Sporus monologue that I was talking about, like that is the transposition of his feelings onto this guy. And so like, I don't know, it feels like elevated beyond we have fun together. Because we have fun together is also the premise for a lot of romances, right? It's a premise for a lot of marriages. Like even complicated marriages, if people are still having fun together, they tend to stay together, you know? So I feel like, do you think in the long arc of these characters' lives, these completely made up people who are spending a lot of emotional time with, do you think that Tom and Greg will last longer than Tom and Shiv?
Absolutely.
It's amazing. I agree with you completely.
Yeah. I mean, Tom verbally says to Shiv, right, that he should have been out of this a while ago. He's like the saddest he's ever been in this relationship while they're talking about having children or freezing Shiv's eggs. Like, it's just, I don't know if who's going to be the first to go, but I do think that Tom and Greg's friendship will outlast Tom and Shiv's relationship.
One thing that's interesting to me about it is, you know, sometimes if you're in a bad relationship or a relationship that's kind of waning, you know, a romantic relationship, some people turn to their friends for support.
Yeah.
And some people try to hide those struggles from their friends because they're embarrassed or they don't want to be judged. And I think the later you get into life, the more likely you may be to hide it, because if it's a marriage, you've got all of these things invested and untangling those things is complicated. And some people are reluctant to even imagine ending a marriage. You know, there's a whole challenge that comes with that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something about the way that Tom and Greg are sort of like fiercely, but also jokingly honest with each other. And Greg, you know, he kind of lacks an intellectual tact, right? He's not raised in this prim and proper environment. So he's constantly putting on as though he's comfortable, even though he's not comfortable in any situation. I just, I agree with you. I think Tom and Greg are in it for the long haul, which is fascinating. I think they represent like a long history of abused lieutenants, you know, and abused lieutenants is kind of a theme of this show.
Yeah. I just thought of the Safe Room, the episode Safe Room. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Greg, of course, decides that this is the perfect time to ask for what feels like an open relationship professionally. And of course, you know, Tom gets triggered because he's had this conversation with Shiv on his wedding night, starts throwing water bottles. And then like, as everything's over in a safe room that really wasn't a safe room, he like apologizes and Greg continues to just kind of ask if he could blackmail him. Like, so even when he's trying to like go against him, he's very like polite and wants his opinion on going against him. It's like a really, what is happening?
Do you think that Tom is good for Greg at the end of the day?
I haven't, pros and cons. I think the cons add up. There's more cons than pros.
What are the cons? Let's go through them. Potential physical violence. That's a con. Emotional trauma. That's a con.
The funny thing is, like, shouldn't that just be enough? Like, like, shouldn't that make for more instead of like? We talked about like professionally, what is Greg? Is this friendship worth it professionally, specifically to Greg?
Mm-hmm.
And also even like Tom, right? Like you said, he's more of like an assistant, if anything. Emotionally, on the other hand, though, Greg is like his confidant. Mm-hmm. So as far as professionally, or I guess within this world, it feels like that is the most important element. And maybe that's the problem, is it seems like it's not as great as it should be for both of them.
And yet they end season three, like, potentially riding high, right?
Yeah.
So it's so hard to say. I mean, this is a really, it's a complex question about the way that we view professional experience. Because I think we're at this interesting, we've been at this kind of interesting turning point for the last 5 to 10 years. And as I said, I am getting older, so please forgive me if I'm misstepping in any meaningful way. But like, I think the way that people are creatively or professionally managed has just changed a lot in that time. And so because of that, when we see Greg and Tom, especially if you're a younger viewer of the show, you're like, oh my God, this is horrifying.
Right.
This relationship that they have. I mean, this is like, you could be sued. Could you even go to jail for some of the things that Tom does to Greg?
Yes.
You know, he can be violent. He's so angry at times. And on the other hand, there's this kind of like this sweetness, and you've got this really insecure and clearly like emotionally locked off Midwestern guy in Tom who doesn't know how to express himself, got himself into a bad marriage. And so we've like psychologized our way through why he is that way. And also Matthew McFadden is such a likable and hilarious actor that we're willing to forgive the obvious bad behavior. But if you think about it in the kind of practical terms of our contemporary society, this is how you used to mentor and raise people inside of companies. Maybe not quite to this like...
abusive?
But I was going to say more like literary extent. Mm. You know, like the dialogue that they have between each other is sort of absurdist in the way that it's written. And it in some cases, it wouldn't be as abusive. Like you and I were not privy to like specifically this kind of abuse. Like when we were working together, nobody's throwing water bottles at each other.
Right.
But people would be really hard on their reports. Like really hard. They would send nasty voicemails and scream, and they would send really nasty emails. And I think our culture has changed a lot, at least from my perspective, in the last 10 years. And because a lot of this stuff has come to light. So it's interesting to think about, one, the corporate culture of the show that's been created, and two, the idea of Tom kind of sliding neatly into the long history of bad corporate culture, which, you know, almost takes down the company in seasons 2 and 3 with the cruise scandal, and is used as this kind of leverage point, and all the terrible things that are happening there. And to think of Tom and Greg as this beautiful kind of, you know, ongoing example of what happens to people when all they care about is money and power inside of their careers. And yet, inside of that is this like little tiny tulip, you know, of friendship. Like you can see, when you watch them.
Someone would describe Tom and Greg's friendship as a tulip.
But it's like, it's beautiful in some ways. I mean, I see their vulnerability with each other and I'm touched by it. And so it's really a holding two thoughts in your mind at the same time kind of proposition.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
So I think that we can agree that this friendship may last longer than the other friendships, whether they be, you know, sibling, parental. How does their friendship differ from the other ones in Succession, do you think? Like Roman and Jerry, Stewie and Kendall, like the ones that aren't really, or can be, the ones that are also family.
This might just be me overreading it, but I do think that most of the critical relationships in the show have a kind of odd, charged sexual atmosphere. Jerry and Roman, we know there is like there is a friendship there. There is a kind of mentor mentee quality there too, but there's an open sexual energy between them that is often discussed, especially from Roman's perspective.
Right.
I just don't know if, most of those people actually like each other.
Right.
And I do think that Tom and Greg like each other because they know where they can kind of fill in the gaps for the other person. I think for the most part, those other relationships are very transactional. Kendall and Stewie is an interesting one because, one, I love Stewie. He's one of my favorite characters on the show. Yeah. He's the most no bullshit character. He operates in a kind of like bro code, bro language that is also fully cutthroat in business. And his like, him slipping in and out of persona and in and out of friendship is like one of his skills. So it doesn't feel like there's anything genuine there. Those are two really powerful guys who also actually have no power, right? They're supplicants to power on a regular basis to Logan or to Sandy or whomever. And over time, we see like the bitterness grow between them. Like think about when you first see Kendall and Stewie, and they're like at a coffee shop. And they're talking about the potential of making a big change inside the company. And it's like, it's all very buddy-buddy. And, you know, they seem like frat brothers.
Yeah.
And over time, it's become like kind of nose-to-nose rivalry in many ways. But so I don't think that any of those friendships are actually real. I am intrigued by a couple of other kind of stray relationships. Like you see this kind of tense pact between Sandy Furness, played by Hope Davis, Sandy's daughter, and Shiv. And you think like, or Shiv and Lisa, Sanaa Lathan's lawyer character. And you're like, because the emotions run so hot in those relationships, you think that there actually could be like a more meaningful friendship at the heart of them that get blown up. But I don't look at, like I look at a character like Connor and I'm like, does Connor have any friends? Like, has he ever met a person that he actually wants to spend time with? And because he's just such a blatant narcissist. And that's the thing, is it's a show full of narcissists. So narcissists often don't make good friends. They don't make reliable people who, when you're having a problem, you can call them. And it's a show full of inherently bad people that we love. So it really challenges the very premise of your show.
Are these people really friends? I mean, you mentioned, and I think we agree, like transactional friendships, if not most, all of them are transactional friendships. I don't know if you agree, but I think in this world that they live in, I think every friendship has to be transactional. And I think just Tom and Greg's is more emotionally transactional than the other friendships.
I'm gonna throw that back at you though, because like you've worked in the media for a long time. Mm-hmm. I assume a lot of your friends also work in the media.
Yeah.
Sometimes maybe you collaborate with them, sometimes you don't. But when you're spending time with someone who has a job that is similar to yours, you guys might intersect professionally at some point, do you have anything in the back of your mind that says like, behave well, or, you know, think about the long-term aspects of this interaction? Like, do you have a consciousness about that? Or are you just the kind of person who's like, come what may, the only thing that matters is human relationships and everything else is secondary to that? Because that purity of the second choice, I think is pretty hard for people in the modern context.
I mean, if they are friends, I do have that. I will look out for this person as well. Like, you know, it's not just about me, which is usually the level of friendships that are within these collaborations, you know, or partnerships that I work in, where I'm like, I'm still looking out for this other person.
Mm. Can you define that? Like, what do you mean by looking out for them? Like, does Tom look out for Greg in that way? Like, is it relatable to this absurd story that we love?
I mean, I hope not for my friends, but I think when I speak as those type of friendships for me, I think I would love to make sure that the person I'm working with, if I have any say, is getting properly paid, right? The rate is good. Their contract is good. Things like that I want to look out for them. Tom and Greg, I think that when Tom gets scared emotionally that Greg will leave him, that's when he ups Greg's level within the company or within whatever department he's in. Like, no, how about I give you this? Or how about this is your new title after I throw water bottles at you? Like, I feel like there's always like an apology within that for the abuse, but I don't know if his first instinct is, let me look out for Greg. But, you know, there is the exception, like you said, that season finale of season 3, where Tom goes to Greg when he's about to make this big move.
The other thing you see, though, like you see these complicated relationships between underlings where sometimes it just makes someone who's in power seem more powerful just to say, I have underlings. Mm-hmm. I have a team. And like, I was Tom basically bringing Greg along because he wants to seem like he has power because he has this kind of chain of command? Or does he actually care for him and want to look out for him and do the things that you're saying you would do with your friends? Mm-hmm. It's very complicated and very elusive, and maybe they don't even really know. And so I think that's part of what makes it a special dynamic on the show.
When have you seen a moment, or what moment or episode do you think of when you think Tom was looking out for Greg? Not because of any type of gain for himself, if there is anything.
I think the episode where in the first season, the Which Side Are You On episode, where he takes him out. And you mentioned going to the second floor of the club. That's the night when they eat the rare exotic bird.
Yes.
They have a long dinner together. It's Greg's second dinner of the night. Yes. And he sits with him.
Yes.
I think that that episode is like a true attempt at like bonding. Now, does Tom have like a few underlying kind of grooming at, like qualities that he's pursuing? He does. Mm-hmm. I think he kind of always has that. But I also think that there was a part of him that was so excited to just confer to someone else that he clicks with about what it's like to be rich. You know, he's so, because Tom, you get the impression, is not really from like significant means either. And so he has been living in this corporate world for 10, 15 years where he's had all this access to fun things. Obviously, that episode reveals like how not fun most of those things are and how ridiculous they are and like what a waste of money they are, and how like if you're a 40-year-old businessman that works at a cable news network, like they don't want you in the club. Like you're not the toast of the town when you're in that situation. But you can see that he wants a little bit of it is showing off to Greg, like everything he's accomplished, obviously. But I do think that there's a part of him that's like, I want to bond with a guy at work. I want to bond with somebody that maybe we could have fun together. And so that's a simpler time in the series. That first season, things have changed a lot since then. But I do think that that was pure.
What do you feel about the boar on the floor scene? Because that's what I thought of when I thought of, like, you know, when Tom pretty much protects Greg when he accidentally speaks to this, you know, journalist for the for Logan's biography, and they're on the ground. I can't even like trying to grab like. Grab sausages being thrown at them. Like, how did you feel about that scene as far as like their friendship goes?
I think that felt like more of a romantic gesture to me, honestly.
Ooh,
like I felt more like you will not destroy my little boy. But I you're right that there is something to that shows like the emotional bond, the strength of their emotional bond, that he's not willing to let him get filleted for that. Even though Greg acted like an absolute buffoon. That's like a 101 thing. Like what he did there was so, so stupid.
Yeah.
But the boar on the floor episode is tricky because a lot of episodes of the show seem metaphorical. You know, the boar on the floor was like an execution of a concept, really, of like who should be gored here? Who deserves to be, you know, embarrassed or killed for that matter. And the show often kind of operates in those tropes. And so sometimes when you're watching an episode, you're like, it reminds me a little bit of The Sopranos at times, where they're not dream sequences necessarily like The Sopranos did, but they are these like philosophical examinations of power inside of a corporate atmosphere. And sometimes they represent things that are actually true. You know, the writers of the show obviously are very studied in the history of power and especially in media empires. But the Boar on the Floor episode is so ridiculous. That, you know, it challenges how real I view something like that happening.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're talking a lot about these episodes or specific episodes. I thought we could do a rewatchable style segment for Tom and Greg, where we pick the most rewatchable Tom and Greg scene from the show. One that, you know, those that really define their friendship the best. We talked about the rich sequence, right? The Which Side Are You On episode. Four on the Floor on the hunting episode. I talked a lot about Safe Room, but how did you feel about Safe Room?
Love Safe Room. I'm trying to think of what's another example of their incredible connectivity. Because, you know, the bulk of season three is them kind of in opposition and then doing this kind of seduction of bringing Greg back onto Tom's side. I still think it's the Learn How to Be Rich sequence to me is the most rewatchable because it's Tom trying to explain to Greg why his lifestyle is right, but also Tom trying to explain to himself why it's right. And so it's just like an amazing psychological exploration of a person who really needs love and needs companionship. Mm-hmm. And I think that is ultimately what Greg provides for him. And we see that like all the way up until this moment. So that would be my pick.
Yeah. I like the simplicity of it also. And like you said, there's like, I think that maybe that's why you see more of that emotional bond and like mm-hmm. mentor mentee. I also go to not showing the emotional side, the lion in the meadow, of course, the Nero and Sporus scene, which you've talked about, where he literally says that he would be happy to castrate him and marry him. Tom would be happy to castrate and marry Greg. And Greg's just like, are you okay? Like, even after that entire, like, whatever Tom just went through, he still puts that to the side. Like, forget that he just said he would castrate me. But, like, is he okay? Like, and Tom, I think, gets, like, insecure. Like, it kind of brings him back to reality. And then he gets defensive and, like, walks out and, you know.
Well, he, like, picks a physical fight with him.
Yeah.
You know, where he, like, starts punching him. And
yeah.
he starts trying to mix it up with him because he almost doesn't know how to deflect from his own embarrassment.
Right.
Which is amazing. That scene, though, like, that is a courtship scene. That's a declaration of love. And obviously, we love our friends. It's not about that. It's not that that isn't like something that happens. But that feels like him at the end of his freedom, making sure that Greg knows how he feels about him, which
yeah.
is so complicated. And then obviously they come out the other side, all the safer. But Greg simultaneously being mystified by Tom, but also understanding him completely is one of the genius aspects of their friendship.
Do you think that's why they keep coming back to each other? Or Greg keeps coming back to Tom?
I think that there's a very uncharitable reading of their relationship that is like, this is technically just like two losers who don't really have anybody else to turn to. Like, they're both the black sheep of their family.
For sure.
They're not in the inner circle. They need each other to survive and thrive.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I don't know. There's something, there's a floating sweetness between them that you can't manufacture, you know, that's not fake, that's not transactional, that is like when they have joy together, their joy is real.
Yeah. I just, I thought of also All the Bells Say, right, the last episode where Tom literally says, do you want to deal with the devil? And Grace is like, eh, sure. Like, it's,
he's been dealing with the devil. You know, that's the thing. It's like they've been in this together.
Do you think that that's why Greg was just like, as, like, I guess, evil as Tom may have came off, Greg was just like, sure, because
yeah.
it's just the same person he's been dealing with this whole time.
It's Nothing's not just different. That it's Tom is the devil. It's like they work for Waystar Royco and ATN. Like, they have no illusions about the work that they do. I mean, we haven't talked about Ewan at all, Greg's grandfather, who is kind of like the moral inverse of his brother Logan and the whole Roy clan. But that's a notable figure in his life because on the one hand, he's kind of like awed by his grandfather and thinks he's like a big figure, but also does nothing that his grandfather would ever approve of because his instincts are to succeed and to get money in a very kind of like vainglorious and simple way.
Yeah.
And that just feels, it makes him a better match for Tom than it does anybody else on the show.
Yeah. I mean, Greg is also suing Greenpeace by the end of the... Do you think that this friendship would be as strong if Tom had a better relationship with Shiv?
I don't. But I also don't think that a stronger relationship with Shiv is plausible for anyone. I think that she too is a kind of a lone wolf and she has a kind of consumptive quality when it comes to relationships. You know,
yeah.
she's constantly looking for what's the next thing around the corner. She wants to be satisfied. She's used to getting what she wants all the time. And
yeah.
so, you know, she's not really cut out for marriage in this way, at least at this phase of her life. But she also is an unfinished project. You know, she's a person who has not really accomplished what she wants to accomplish. And until she does, you don't get the impression that she's going to be able to really settle down with her partner.
Yeah. There's a lot of toxicity, more than we can even talk about. Is there other TV or movie friendships that do you think, like, are as toxic as this one?
Ooh. Well, you often find these things on soap operatic shows, you know, like on the OC or, you know, Melrose Place. Like, this kind of thing is really common, right? Like, there's like a bad boyfriend quality, I think, to Tom and Greg that is very familiar as a trope. But this kind of like deep-seated difficulty, especially between two men is unusual in movies. I mean, excuse me, in TV shows. Gosh, I'm trying to think of a comp here. I mean, you know, Hank and Jesse in Breaking Bad is not so far afield. You know, they're, excuse me, not Hank and Jesse. Heisenberg and Jesse is like not so far afield. Like they have a similar mentor-mentee, mm-hmm. and they develop this kind of emotional bond between each other. They need each other to be successful for long stretches of time. They check each other at critical moments, but also there's a lot of hostility and rage, mm-hmm. especially emanating from Heisenberg down to Jesse. So that feels like a pretty close comp.
Yeah.
Maybe a future episode about those two.
There we go. You're going to be on it.
Oh, God.
So overall, do you think that Tom and Greg's friendship is the most healthiest friendship in the entire show?
I think so.
What does that say about us also?
I mean, I think it's, you know what it is? Like, I think Connor and Willa, for example.
Oh, yes.
Have like actually come to an emotional and fiscal understanding between each other. And they seem actually like they're going to make it pretty far.
And yes, because this Willa screams out, fuck it, like 10 times to accept the proposal.
She is in a way like realistic about her lot in life. And so she's willing to roll with Connor on some of this stuff. That's obviously a romantic relationship.
Right. Friendship. Secretly a relationship, as we kind of gathered.
Gosh, I think it's Tom and Greg, Erica, really.
So you're telling me there's a future here with both of them.
I think maybe more than that. I mean,
oh my goodness.
Will they be cohabitating in season 4? I don't know. It's possible. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Sean.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to share my deep-seated emotions about mentors and mentees.
Where can listeners hear more from you, and where can they hear more about Succession?
Well, I'm hosting the Big Picture podcast every week talking about movies, but I'll be recapping this season of Succession with my recapping pal, Joanna Robinson, on the Prestige TV podcast. And I think we're going to be joined by Bill Simmons on that show as well.
Awesome.
So it should be hopefully must-listen material, just like I hope season 4 of Succession is must-watch material.
And I also want to say thank you for being a healthy mentor. As well.
That means a lot to me. I really cherish my time working with you, so it's nice to be reunited.
There's no Tom and Greg situation going on here.
No toxicity whatsoever. Thanks, Erica.
Thank you so much, Sean. And thank you for listening to What About Your Friends. I'll see you back here next week.